Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you on this Tuesday morning, May 28th, 2019. If you have a pen and some paper, I want to share some dates with you that may be of interest. We've had a phone call recently, or I should say an email. I apologize. We had an email from the Steve Cicalante ministry. And for those of you who don't know who Steve Cicalante is, he's an Asian man, as I could tell. He's been all over the internet, YouTube, television, and he's been quite a dynamic speaker, and he's kind of launching right now. The ministry is launching him out there, and they have asked us if we would like to host him on June 1st to the 5th or the 15th to the 19th, and obviously the 1st to the 5th is way too close right now for us, so we're considering having Steve Cicalante come on out to the northwest region of Arkansas from the 15th, and that would be a Friday night, and all the way through the 19th are some potential dates for him. I'm definitely going to be having some radio interviews with him. He talks a lot about the last days, and his last name is C-I-O-C-C-O-L-A-N-T-I, Steve Cicalante. Again, if you see him or if you get a chance to look at him, you'll know who he is. So we are thinking about having him come out here on the dates, the 15th to the 19th. We'll keep you in touch. And if you're in the local area, we would ask you to, be a part of sharing that word, let people know he's going to be here, and we will begin the process of invitation. So we're praying about that. May God give us wisdom. I think Steve would be a great blessing to the area with the things I've heard him speak on, and he's pretty razor's edge, and we appreciate that always. Another day you want to put down on your calendar is October 13th. October 13th begins the Feast of Tabernacles 2019, and the Feast of Tabernacles will go through October 13th to October 20th, and that is our one-week celebration, and hopefully, by the time we get to October, we'll all be intact and ready to go and prepared to celebrate this great feast, and it's so interesting to me that of all the different feasts that the Torah talks about, where it, the Jews were commanded to celebrate the Passover and Shavuot and Feast of Tabernacles and all these feasts. But in the book of Zechariah, as you know, the Feast of Tabernacles is a call to all the nations of the earth. And I would just remind our listeners today that the Zechariah 14, beginning in verse 18, says, "And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of all Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." And so in Zechariah chapter 14, where those verses are, that is definitely an end time. That's during what the Bible calls the millennial reign, that 1,000-year period of time where, you know, all the nations that came up against Jerusalem are going to be destroyed, wiped out. The King of Glory is going to take his position of power, and there's going to be a 1,000-year reign. And during that time, the surviving nations will be required to come up year to year during the 1,000 years and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, not Passover, not Shavuot, but Tabernacles. And that's why we believe that the Feast of Tabernacles is the only feast that has not yet been fulfilled in its entirety. And so there's much to be said about the Feast of Tabernacles. And I think as time goes and we get a little bit closer, we'll be talking a lot more about it. So remember, October 13th, you want to get ready to participate. You want to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. If you're not able to travel outside of your traveling area, then you might want to look locally to find out who is celebrating the feast. Obviously, New Wine Ministries will be hosting the Feast of Tabernacles, and we will be inviting people from everywhere to come out to this great feast. And so that will be from October 13th to October 20th. Lots more information to follow. Today, by the way, is the 38th day of the counting of the Omer. And for those of you that have been following the count, the required count under the Torah was to day by day count up until the 49th day, after which began when? The second day of Passover. They would begin to count the Omer, a verbal count, and then they would count to the 49th day, and then on the 50th day, they would what? Shavuot. That's why they call it the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Harvest. So there was a shout, which we know it is Pentecost, 50. And so today is the 38th day. Tonight, when the sun sets where you are, will begin the 39th day. So we're just about 11 days away from the Shavuot. And the Shavuot, Pentecost, as we know it again, will be Saturday evening, which is June 8th. So when June 8th comes, it will, in that evening of June 8th, it will be the 50th day. And that's where our celebration of the next great feast in the economy of God will commence. And for those of you who participated in the Feast of Passover, and you came before the Lord with your gifts, your offerings, your heart, your life, your willingness to participate and examine the depth of these feasts, Passover representing the Son of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and everything that blood does within the life of a believer. That's why we do not celebrate externally alone. Every bit of the value of the feast for us today is the intrinsic value of what each one of these feasts mean in our progression, our development, our growth as sons and daughters of our Father. And obviously, the Father sent his Son to shed his blood to forgive us for our sins, to cleanse our conscience, to make us available for him to put his Spirit in us, right? You imagine, you cleanse the cup, then you fill it with the Spirit. You cleanse the people by the blood of the Lamb, by the cross, by the sacrifice, and then you fill the vessel with the Holy Spirit. The problem with getting cleaned up and not getting filled up is that the devils will come, seven more wicked than themselves, and take possession in that house if it's not filled up. And so in God's economy, he cleanses first by the blood. 50 days later, he fills the vessel, and then we are useful to the Lord to begin to operate in the callings and the functions as led by the Holy Spirit. And those, both the Holy Spirit and the blood, prepare a people to meet the Lord in a celebration of intimacy in the Feast of Tabernacles, the great gathering together of the body of Yeshua for the intimacy of the bride and the bridegroom. And so there is a tremendous amount of intrinsic, internal value that is necessary for our growth and development and the organic cultivation of the good soil of our hearts, where the seed, the good seed, is being sown so that we might be trees of righteousness and the fruit of the Holy Spirit might be made available and known in our lives. And you know, and I know, that we are being tested, we are being opposed at every single turn, because as far as the devil is concerned, he doesn't want anybody to arrive at their destiny. He wants to cut short destination, and he is going to pull out all the stops of his trickery and deceit, because he is the father of lies, and he's going to do everything in his power to oppose the arrival at the destination that God has called us to. And so we're pilgrims, we are sojourners, we are moving on this earth, and we must spiritually, soulically, and physically arrive at our destination prepared. And through the blood of Jesus, through the cross of Jesus, through the Spirit of God, both Passover, Pentecost, we are empowered to be prepared to meet the Lord and to show up at our destiny. Now, in this earthly economy, even though it's God's economy that's revealed in the earth with the feast, Tabernacles is the ultimate destination for the children of Israel every year. That was the final feast where they would go through the process and they would show up in the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was their destined end of the year. And so you and I should be preparing to get to Tabernacles and know that the devil will do everything in his power to turn you away, to get you to misunderstand, to not understand the feast. That's not having to do with my salvation, the arguments that come along with it. Why should I do that? And we agree, basically, that the feasts are not a method or means of salvation. Salvation is alone in Jesus Christ, our faith in him, our acceptance of the cross of Jesus Christ. We get born again. I get that. We're saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, not by keeping the feast. I get that. However, when we get born again, we're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, right? That's what the scriptures say. And now that we've been translated out of the world system into God's system, well, there's a way of life in the kingdom of heaven. And God reveals to us that part of that way of life is by keeping the feast. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to the church of Corinth, let us therefore keep the feast. But he said, let's not do it outwardly, but let's keep that feast inwardly, sincerely. And, you know, he gets into all of that. So while we talk about these things all the time, I want to inspire your thinking to look beyond your moment to the days that lie ahead, and they will come quickly. They will come quickly. And before you know it, after October 13th to the 20th, Tabernacles, we'll get into, you know, the Thanksgiving of November, and then people go into December, and then it's 2020. And that's going to be an amazing year, no doubt. However, we are also looking at and concerned about the potential summer of violence that is going to hit this earth, and particularly this country. And I'm talking about a true summer of violence here in the United States of America. There are floods going on right now and tornadoes and events that are already violent. I mean, every time I turn the TV on, it says violent storms and violent this. And, you know, people are losing their lives, their homes, everything they've built and they've labored for are gone through the violence of the wind and these different natural forces. But I do believe we're going to see a summer of violence in unfortunately, terrorism, shooting, malls. I think you're going to see some stuff going on in hospitals and in schools. I believe that there's going to be a release. And you know, everybody says, well, I hope not. You know, that's your belief system. And you're right. It is what I believe, what God has revealed to me. And we hope not. You know, we want to just keep things going in the right direction. However, I believe we're so close at the door right now, and I believe that the powers of darkness, they begin to turn people away by just saying, nah, that'll never be, and, you know, through scoffing and mocking to get people to just, you know, disconnect from the biblical realities and say, well, that's always happened before. And so the devil is a trickster. He's a liar. And you and I, without the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus operating in our lives could come under that influence. There's no doubt. And we are going to be tested to our toenails, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, I want to share with you out of the Gospel of Matthew, real quick here, Matthew chapter 24. And I want to just go through this one more time in Matthew 24. But I want to begin in verse 8, because the first few verses leading up to verse 8 are simply verses that are talking about the beginning of sorrows, all of the things that would be in the world at the same time in an exponential way. You know, like a woman in travail, these things are going to happen quick. And then verse 8 of Matthew 24 says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Once again, referring to the earthquakes, the famines, the pestilences, the troubles, the wars, the rumors of wars, the deception, all these things, he said, would be the beginning of sorrows. But then verse 9, when Jesus focuses his attention on the Christian church, you see, those first 8 verses have nothing to do particularly with the Christian church. They have to do with the general global atmosphere of what it will be like in the last days. But it has nothing to do personally with the Christian church. But in verse 9, he shifts his conversation to the Christian church that will be living at the time of the events that he has talked about and is going to talk about. And he's going to cover the entirety of the church age from 70 AD all the way to the very end of time when he returns. And so in verse 9, the Lord says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Okay, so every Christian must understand that there is the possibility and potential of being delivered up to be afflicted. And that word afflicted is thlipsis. And you've heard me talk about this before. Thlipsis is the same exact word for tribulation. And it means pressure, anguish, burden, persecution, tribulation, trouble. And I want you to think about this. In the last days, Jesus is concentrating on his church now, and he's telling them, then shall they deliver you up, Christian, to be afflicted, to be thlipsist, to be burdened, persecuted, pressured. And then he went on to say, and shall kill you, and shall kill you. And we don't need a lot of definition, but here's just for looking at what it is, it's the apoktino. And that word apoktino means to kill outright, figuratively to destroy or to allow to perish or to extinguish, to abolish, to inflict mortal death, to deprive of spiritual life and procure eternal misery in hell is one of the definitions. So a lot of people are going to be killed physically, but also spiritually, their faith is going to die. That's what Jesus said. All right. And watch how this happens. And this is what you and I need to be thinking about, okay? How to prepare for these things. They'll deliver you up. You'll be afflicted, thlipsist. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations. Now, that word hated there is missio, and it literally means to be detested. To be detested, to be pursued with hatred. So the true Christian, the true body of Christ, is going to be living in an environment of hatred, detestation, persecution, thlipsis, pressure, burden, trouble. The world around the surviving Christian community is not going to be kind to it. And you and I need to know that. People are going to start doing really strange things. And so he goes on to say in verse 9, not only will you be hated of all nations, and it will be for my name's sake, Jesus said. So he's saying during this time of affliction, killing, hatred, God's people are going to be there because the rest of the nations of the earth are going to hate them, right? And then in verse 10, Jesus Christ said, because of the condition, because of that affliction, the killing, the hatred, all of that, then, he said, shall many. And I want to just look at that word many here. It's polis, and it means the majority, the much, the large. Okay, so we're not talking about a few here. He says that the majority shall be offended. Okay, now that word offended is scandalizo, a scandal, right? Scandalizo. And what it means is to entrap or to trip up or to stumble or entice to sin. It also means apostasy. Okay, so what's going to happen is the atmosphere that you and I should expect if we believe we're living in the last days is that when the 3.5 billion people are killed in this coming conflagration of Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 9, which we have talked about, there's going to be 3.5 billion people that are going to die. This world is going to go insane. There are going to be people that have been stung with locust demons out of Revelation chapter 9 that are going to be tormented and wish for death, but they're only going to seek death and it's going to flee from them. They won't die with the torment. There are going to be people blaspheming the name of Jesus, raising their fist against him. The world is going to go, and this could happen any moment now, because we're moving rapidly to these moments, which are going to lead us to the greatest tribulation that ever hit the face of the earth, Revelation 13. So you have to imagine a world that has gone to nuclear war, a massive global World War III, as they call it, which is the sixth trumpet in the book of Revelation. Then, because of the atmosphere of the remaining nations that are going to be hating Christians, okay? Kind of like the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. They're going to be hated, and the men of the people of the earth are going to be sending gifts to one another because they're going to be dead, right? All right, so this word scandalizo, when it comes, what happens to you and I, what the potential, what the devil's trap is, what he's wanting to do is get us offended. Because the persecution is not only going to come from without, it's going to begin within. There are going to be things happening inside the church. Well, let's just read what Jesus said would be. Remember, if we get offended, we're falling into the trap and we're going to get tripped up. In other words, people are going to do things that are going to cause many to enter into a trap, to trip them up, cause them to stumble, and actually lead them into apostasy. Folks, that is a serious word because that's the many. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another. Oh my God. Para didomi. That's the Greek word. Para didomi for betray. And it means literally to surrender or to yield up, to commit or to cast or to give up or to deliver over, to put in hazard, to put in prison. Now, who's doing the betraying? The offended ones. Those who are offended, who fall into the trap, are going to be used by the enemy to betray the righteous. I mean, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. So many are going to be betraying one another and shall hate one another. That's the miso or the misio. And that is the same exact word that the world had against the Christian community in general, but that same hatred that was in the world, that detestation, is now transferred to those who have been offended, who have gone into apostasy. In other words, the spirit of the world, the spirit of the devil, is going to actually enter into those who have been offended, who are going to begin the betrayal and the hatred against their own members of the body who once walked in sweet fellowship. It's going to happen. And at the same time, this is happening. What do you have to do? What do I have to do? What does every Christian need to know? If Jesus is putting it in black and white or red and white, if Jesus Christ is telling us this is going to happen, that's what he was telling the disciples. This is what it's going to be like. The majority of the professors of my name are going to be offended by the pressure that's coming on this earth, the hatred, the animosity, the detestation. They're going to be being killed and persecuted and thrown into concentration camps. So what is going to happen? Well, the many are going to get offended, and then they're going to start persecuting one another in the house of God, in the body of Christ. They're going to betray them. They're going to turn them in, turn them over to the Nazis, so to speak. That's going to happen. And then many, verse 11, false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now, you have to ask yourself in context of what Jesus is talking about, what's the point of a false prophet at this point? Well, the false prophet would deceive the masses, the many, that they're still going to heaven, that they're justified in the way that they're handling things. Telling them about salvation or leading them in a wrong direction or telling them to receive the mark of the beast. It's okay. But Jesus said many false prophets will arise and shall deceive many. Again, there's that word, poulos. Many, the majority, the larger part, are going to be deceived. Verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, iniquity shall abound, not sin, not transgression, iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now let's look at the word iniquity again. The word iniquity here is the anomia, and that word anomia is to be a condition without law because either of being ignorant of it or because of violating it or having contempt and violation of law, and it literally means wickedness or illegality. Okay, so what's happening here? The time is coming, iniquity, lawlessness, violating the laws of nature, violating the laws of God. Hello, is anybody waking up to the fact that that's happening in our world today? I hope so. So the violation of the laws of God, wickedness, all these things, illegality, the anomia, because this violating the laws of God shall abound, what does he say? Because iniquity shall abound, verse 12, the agape, the love, the affection of many Christians shall wax cold. The world doesn't have the agape love. You and I have the agape love. And yet he says, the love of many. There's the word many again. I want you to notice in verse 10, there is the many. Verse 11, there is the many. Verse 12, there is the many. And the many are referring to the Christian community living at this time who are going to fall away. And in this case, because the lawlessness and wickedness will abound with all the other betrayal, with all the other stuff going on, the hatred, well, the love of many shall wax cold. And that phrase there, to wax cold, is the sukkō. And that word sukkō means simply, listen to this, it's talking about a reduction of temperature by evaporation, literally to chill. Be ye hot or cold, many hot Christians are going to turn cold. They're going to reduce the temperature. And if they reduce it to lukewarm, they're going to get vomited out of the mouth of God. But this says the love of many will wax cold. In other words, folks, a lot of people are going into the realm of cold. This is the word of God. This is what he's telling us to beware of, to watch over, to be careful about. And then in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end of this time that Jesus is talking about, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure. the hupomino, the hupomino. And that means to remain, to stay under, to bear the trials, to persevere, patiently suffer. This has got to be our mental, emotional, spiritual, soulical, physical attitude. To remain, to persevere under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ, to bear bravely and calmly ill treatments. Now, folks, that's huge. To bear bravely and calmly ill treatments. I've got news for every one of us. We are all going to be treated ill. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care if you're the pastor. I don't care who you are. You and I should expect to be ill-treated, disrespected, not honored. And yet I know from God's perspective, he wants us all to treat each other with this kind of respect, but it's not going to happen. In the last days, we are going to be treated wrongly by people we would expect different from. In these last days, maybe even just in the journey of life itself, it happens. People that you expect so much more from are going to give the least. It's going to be a very intense time of separation, because this day that Jesus is talking about is all designed to separate the wheat from the chaff. And so in these few verses, again, we are warned to endure to the end of this time of great tribulation, or this time of persecution that's beginning to mount. Patricia, good morning. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. It is another day to get it right and to love the things of God and where we are and what God is doing in us. And hopefully he is moving us in a place of stability. And I think that's what you're speaking of right now, a place of stability.
Yeah, that's well said. That's remaining or building your life upon a rock, and that when these winds blow and the floods come and all of these things, that we will remain. And that's what this is all about, remaining. He who endures to the end. But what a horrific time that Jesus has told. You know, a lot of people in today's world would think that, you know, we're not being psychologically fair, you know, to tell people about this, that this is somehow fear mongering or telling people, you know, who wants to think that these days are coming? And yet Jesus said they would come. Even in our own homes, this kind of thing is going to be heartbreaking. And I guess we need to learn to deal with it
now. It's already happening in family members, among family members, those who decide and made decisions that Jesus Christ is not the answer. They're going to come against those within the family that believe Jesus Christ is the only answer. We're already seeing that happen. We're seeing persecution all over the world. We're starting to see persecution in the schools, in government. It's happening this very moment. And our hearts are being tried in all of this. And the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in. Nothing left of their love but a mound of ashes. And what we have to so carefully, and I do mean carefully, look after, is that our heart will not wax cold in the things that we're seeing in relationships. All that is going to become a great hindrance in our life, and in some cases already has started. Because I want to plead to all who are listening, I'm pleading that you would watch your heart, that you would be very careful, because it's going to be tried, as has already been mentioned. And if your love waxes cold, you are not going to be in the heart of God, and you are not going to be kept in the palm of his hand, as spoken of in Psalm 91. And God requires us staying with it. Stay with it to the end. And we won't be sorry. And we will be saved. That's what the word tells us. And during the times we're in and the times that are coming, the good news, the message of the kingdom. We are preaching it all over the world by Omega Radio. And we witness that in these countries that we are ministering to, they must hear this because they are being tried more so, but in different manners than we are. And then we're going to see the end come. But we have to be ready to run for it when we see the monster of
desecration
mm-hmm. set up in the temple sanctuary, which is about ready to happen in the form of the Antichrist.
So you're seeing, yeah, well, that kind of leads in as we continue on through Matthew chapter 24 of how this, you know, develops. You know, what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24, 10, 11, 12, and 13, you know, that's a concentrated moment that's leading to something. It's leading to something. And verse 14, the very next verse you're talking about, he says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever reads, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So in the last days, this abomination of desolation, as we understand it, will step into the temple of God, 2 Thessalonians. The people of Israel that are there where the temple is, where the Antichrist or the man of sin or the son of perdition will walk into there proclaiming himself to be God, which I believe happens to be the Mahdi, who's going to claim himself to be Allah is God type of thing. And so this Antichrist will go there. Well, the people that are right there where the temple is are told to, when you see this, flee into the mountains. Well, around the world, this will be televised, and God's people at that time need to know that this global great persecution that is coming, tribulation, they need to get to their place of safety as well. And that's why we are spending so much time on radio, not just trying to waste time and get involved in religious mindsets. We are supposed to be praying and seeking the face of God as to where he wants us to be in the last days. And that is happening all over the world. People are preparing because when you see these things begin to come to pass, what do? Flee into the mountains. So the mountains of Israel, there's a whole lot of conversation about that. But what if you're in the good old USA? Or what if you're in South America? Or what if you're in Europe or Africa or some of the islands of the sea? Where are you going to go when you see this thing happen on television in the last days through technology or a computer? It's going to happen.
It is already happening. We are involved even now for our hearts to begin to fear of what we see coming upon the earth. And I am asking each and everyone that is listening right now to watch your heart. Watch it from the affliction of fear. Watch it that it does not become cold from what you're seeing, from offenses and things that people do when you believe they should know better. Please watch your heart. I cannot plead enough in this area, because when our hearts begin to give in to coldness, Satan has had then his ability, or will have his ability, to capture us and keep us under his domain, and our soul could be lost. So please watch your heart, the afflictions that come against you. They're going to be more rampant. They're coming in a stronger manner now. We must stand unmovable. We must love with every portion of our being. And if our hearts wax cold, there will not be that love. And we cannot call ourselves Christians under the circumstances, because it'll be laughable and an abomination on top of it.
Yes, Patricia, we're going to continue on in Matthew 24, and these are serious moments, and one of the things we enjoy doing is breaking down the words and the meanings, the interpretation of what Jesus was saying, and we do realize that he said this 2,000 years ago, but we know that he's in a timeless realm. The Lord says 1,000 years is as one day, so We're living in a time that every eye will see him. There's no doubt that the technology in the world today will allow and afford everybody on this earth to participate in these times that Jesus was talking about. Like in the book of Revelation, it may have been hard to understand about fire coming out of a mouth of a beast or a dragon or, you know, something to that effect, or locusts coming out of a pit. But the symbology, we understand it more today because of what has come forward, and we could see these things being fulfilled. And then Jesus said this word, and I thought this was interesting because not only flee to the mountains in verse 16, but 17 says, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Boy, that sounds like a real fleeing. And, you know, if you're not in the place where you're going to be and you have to flee, like an inner city or something to that effect, don't think you're going to be able to go back and get your stuff ready to go. I believe when all these signs are beginning to take place, people need to be in the place that God has told them this is where you're going to be. How important is that?
Well, it is important, and we do need to be led by the Holy Spirit. There's so many different aspects to these end times that we must learn about. But, you know, if I have to go back to our heart waxing cold, because if that happens, we cannot be led by the Holy Spirit to gather in any place and to become one with any group of people. For the strength will be in oneness. It will not be in individuality. And because iniquity shall be multiplied, and you know, you brought up iniquity, the very strength of that spirit of iniquity is extremely damaging. You taught on that. Most churches don't even begin to understand what iniquity really is, but it is mounting now. And that is a combination of all the sin in the world that ever has been and is. And the love of many is going to wax cold. And I already see it in action.
Well, absolutely. Patricia, we have a friend that's contacting us and connecting with us on the text messages. I want to just go back real brief before going on any further. And for those of you just tuning into the broadcast, we began with letting you know that the Feast of Tabernacles this year is going to begin on October 13th, and it will be until October 20th. We celebrate it here in Northwest Arkansas as the Spirit of God gives us wisdom to do it, and we start preparing for that. And so why do we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles as a New Covenant church? Because in Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. So we're talking about the millennial reign here. This is the end times. This is the book of Zechariah. It tells you all about it. Shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So obviously, there is a revelation in the Word of God about the millennial reign and the necessity of all nations celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. That's interesting because you have this time of the government of God ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, and all the nations of the earth being subjugated to God's divine power and authority. So yes, we do celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles as a rehearsal for the great wedding feast between the bride and the bridegroom. To that, there's no doubt, and there's so much more connected to that. The other thing that was asked about was the betrayal. Will it be greater in the church than by the non-believers? Yes, I think betrayal, if the world does something to turn you in, I mean, that's expected. You know, if you're a Jew in Nazi Germany and a bunch of Germans find you and they tell the police, it's not really betraying you. But when you've walked in sweet fellowship, David said, something about he was going to the temple, but my familiar friend that turned on me. And so it's when people in the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, they, because of themselves being offended, because they were not prepared for the level of persecution, detestation, hatred, killing, violence against their lives, the majority, again, the many, will wax cold. They
there
will betray. I mean, it's coming from the church.
It's coming from the church, and the people in God's church will love him less, and they will love each other less. And these are the recipients of godly love that they could have been, they could have had, but have turned from it for their own jealousies, because of their own weaknesses, and their love will wax cold, and their actions will show it, and it will reduce in their relationships between the brethren. And I'll tell you what, we better start praying, because I sense it coming on strongly. I truly do. And I think every one of us are going to be tried in this manner at this time. And the gossip will start in the church, though it's always been there, but there's going to be an increase of gossip among friends in the church. And they will be taking advantage of kindnesses, and forgiveness and betrayal will come. And it's not going to be a very happy moment, and it is already beginning. I sense it like I've never sensed it before.
And we need to thank God for every test and every trial that comes our way personally, each one of us right now, because this is not an exemption to pastors, apostles, prophets, you know, deacons, or anybody else in the body of Christ. We are all human beings that have taken on the glory of Christ because his seed within us and in all that God has said. So we need to thank God for the tests that come right now. How do we respond to people that insult us? How do we respond to people that betray us even now? How do we respond to people that do not honor or do not respect or detest or hate or, you know, are becoming angry and violent? How do we, when our family members treat us certain ways? It's how we respond. It's not what they are doing to us. Listen, what they are doing in our time of testing is what is going to happen. If we are the people that are going to be here for this word being fulfilled, the question is, how am I responding in my mind and my emotions? Because the level of spiritual warfare that is employed through betrayal and hatred and detestation and persecution, the demonic behind that is so intensely furious against the body of Christ. And I think too many people are taking this lightly. They're not really understanding what Jesus is warning about. The thing is, how am I handling it? And if I'm not handling it well right now, I ought to bend my knee, thank God that he's showing me my heart so that I can get it better and do it right. When Patricia stepped onto the microphone today or into the program, you said another day to get it right. And so we have to learn to get it right. May God help us in our hearts to be sanctified and purified by the blood of the Lamb, by the Spirit of God, so that we genuinely can be that bride or that vessel that will be useful to the Lord and preserved and endure unto the end. Because, Patricia, let me say this quickly before you go. If we continue in the Matthew outline here, he goes on to say, woe, in verse 19, Jesus said, woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck, a nursing baby, in those days. Woe to them. Well, you know what woe means. He said, but pray ye that your flight, and again, this is not a pre-tribulational flight. There's nothing about pre-tribulational rapture here. Pray that your flight into the mountains or wherever you're going be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So we're moving into summer. We're still in the spring, and we don't know when this is going to happen. This could happen anytime. So we should be praying that our flight, the time that we've got to get out, is not going to be in the wintertime, neither on the Sabbath day. Why? Because verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Patricia, this is the conversation of Jesus bringing us to the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, where many are going to take the mark of the beast and persecution will commence.
Well, again, it's going to take agape love to love the way God has called us to love. The Bible tells us clearly that if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And we are going to be tested, and we cannot begin to hear the voice of God, if to run into the mountains if necessary, or whatever is needed, if anything of violence happens in this nation, and everyone says very soon it shall. And clearly, we have to understand that agape love is the only answer we have. And the practice of godly love in the church is critical, absolutely critical to those living in this day. It was in his day critical, and it's critical in this day. And how much more critical in this day, because we're in the end of time. And those of us who live so much nearer to the horrors of the end times, like we are right now, we have to understand that there is going to be violence. There is going to be people in the church that are going to gossip and come against one another and not treat each other properly and not respectfully because of the fears within their hearts.
Yeah, and that's what you've been saying from the beginning. You know, It's the fear, it's the offense, and the real, you know, thing that kicks this off in Jesus's teaching, going back to the beginning, is many shall be offended. And it's out of that offended heart, that offended mind, that people begin to whirl their accusations. They begin to say things to people that they should not be saying. They get into a spirit of pride, or they're frustrated or aggravated about something. And so, you know, they begin to launch their accusations. And before you know it, that spirit of division, that spirit of Antichrist is rising up. And Patricia, this is not isolated to any particular region. This is the environment all over the world. And what I'm really wanting to get to our listeners today is the condition of our hearts personally. Because if you make it through the great tribulation that Jesus is talking about right now, because you've taken heed to what we're saying, our whole ministry was worthwhile if one of you make it through. And you'll make it through because you're going to begin to pay attention to your heart. You're going to pay attention to your motives. You're going to pay attention to yourself. And you're going to know why you do what you do. You're going to pay attention as to whether it is the flesh and the activities of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit that is guiding your life. If one person out there today listening to this message makes it through and endures to the end of what is coming, whether it be our own lives because the great tribulation doesn't happen, but we get through our day-to-day experiences, or what we believe is blowing the door down right now, what Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago is now here, and all the other signs accompanying what he said are here. If one person makes it through, Patricia, because they took heed to what they're hearing today, we will rejoice, because they must keep themselves, as you just said, in the love of Christ.
The agape love of Christ. That means no matter what comes around and about you, you stand in love. You're unmovable. And we also have to understand that many will try to offend. If we receive an offense, we are then already hampered. What we should do under the circumstances is to go to that individual and tell them, according to Scripture in Matthew 15:18. And if that person doesn't hear, then bring another. And if that person still doesn't hear, yet bring another. If it is again turned away from, bring them before the Church of God. Now, if we see that this is paramount in the times we're in, that the scriptures tell us that many hearts will wax cold because of iniquity, not a few, but many, then we must be on guard, and we must become cognizant of the fact that we have to love under every condition, under every duty, under every judgment, because we're going to see more and more affliction. We're going to see more and more brotherly love turn around, and we must manifest the love of Christ no matter what the circumstances. I believe this is a warning. I just know in my heart it's a warning. We normally don't talk like this, but something is going on in the spirit that is causing this to be revealed. And you know who you are. And if you have been involved with such things, please check your heart, because there will be, there will definitely be a reaction because of it from the living God. And we don't want that.
Well, amen to that. What an exhortation. My God, Patricia Joy, I want to finalize a scripture because we need answers. Okay, we hear about these things, we need answers. And the writer of the book of Hebrews gave us incredible wisdom. And here's the impartation of wisdom to myself, to my wife, Patricia, to the body of Christ that's listening today. Verse 1 of chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews says this: wherefore, put yourself in this category right now, just put yourself here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. What I hear about our Lord Jesus, number one, keep your eyes on him. Follow him. He's the only one you could see. You've got to see him with your eyes of faith, your eyes of understanding. You've got to see Jesus. And that's a worthy view. He endured the cross. He knew he was going to the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat as it were blood. He knew what was coming. You are now being told what's coming. I'm being told what's coming. You have to position yourself. And he said, Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. I don't want this. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And if we happen to be that generation, then God has entrusted us with a huge calling. And yet, the anguish of his heart, because many are not going to endure. But the way to endure, Jesus. We've got 90 seconds left in the broadcast. Patricia, your final thoughts before we go.
Well, I just want to encourage us to be obedient to the word of God, because when disobedience increases, agape grows cold, and our hearts will wax cold if we are not obedient to what God tells us to do. An example of this appears in the letter to the Ephesians, remember, when Jesus says that they had let that means their first agape, and he commands them to repent. And if that has happened to you or to I or to anyone else at this time, we are asking that repentance come quickly within us and within anyone who has been afflicted in this way. And when there is compromise or the setting aside of God's standard of righteousness and holiness, then the submissive love toward God and the sacrificial love toward man will begin to grow cold. It is a simple cause and effect relationship. And body of Christ, please listen carefully. Keep your love toward the brethren strong. Obey the will of God and his word. It's going to be more serious in the near days coming.
Amen. If you want to learn more right now, get on over to www.omegaradio.org, broadcasting 24/7. There's a roundtable discussion on how to deal with the demonic host coming up right now. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, with Daniel Seckham. Until then, shalom. God bless everybody. Right now, Omega Radio, a deliverance roundtable discussion.